Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
9FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not getting no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
President's Day. Okay, just so you know, Jeffrey.
Sorry, yes, sir.
Are you clear about what President's Day is?
It is a day to honor the president.
Who?
The United States of America.
Which presidents?
The past dead ones, right?
All the dead ones.
Yes.
Just none of, you think it's all of the dead ones.
We're thanking them for their service.
We're thanking all the dead presidents for their service. So Jimmy Carter would not be included.
He'll get his day.
No. It is sometimes, yes. It started with the birthday of George Washington. And then it was Washington and Lincoln, right? It was, basically it's really supposed to commemorate Washington and Lincoln. Those are the two.
Mm-hmm.
Except in Alabama,
uh-huh,
where they got no use for Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
Because in Alabama, Abraham Lincoln is one of the reasons that they don't get to still have black people as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And that outrages the people in Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they,
the War of Northern Aggression.
They,
damn Yankees.
Resentful as they are, I mean, it's fine if they suit up for the Crimson Tide, but beyond that,
we got to win games.
Beyond that, they got no use for Lincoln, and so it's Jefferson, it's Washington and Jefferson in Alabama, but the rest of the country, it's Washington and Lincoln. And the problem with President's Day, honestly,
Thomas Jefferson's most overrated president ever,
is that hot. Hot takes there.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Jefferson gave us the Louisiana Purchase.
Correct.
Man. We've got New Orleans because of Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
He's not overrated.
I'm
he's
not
underrated.
Celebrating him.
He's underrated. He
I don't celebrate him. I fault France.
He did do the Louisiana Purchase. Didn't he? My, that.
Yeah. Well, he was in office.
You don't fault France for selling on two cents on the dollar. It's the worst trade ever. France is, let's be honest.
France, we gave them trade.
France is Minnesota in the Herschel Walker deal.
Yes.
Right? France is Minnesota in the Herschel Walker deal.
No, they're the New York, they're the New Jersey Nets, now the Brooklyn Nets
they're Celtics. Whatever bad sports trade you can come up with, that's what France
they're
was.
They're the Grizzlies and Thomas Jefferson was Chandler Parsons.
Yes, except for there was no trade involved in
that. They paid.
But we didn't pay Louisiana. We played the French. We acquired it from the French.
Right.
I forgot that, but it was a good deal. That was smart shopping.
Yes.
That was bargain basement shopping.
Yes.
Thomas Jefferson. People don't realize there should be Thomas Jefferson sales.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of Louisiana Purchase.
Right. Not,
when we
forget the President's Day sales.
President's Day sales. Jefferson has got to have the sales.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so the problem with President's Day is here's what take your basic holidays, mm-hmm. okay? Tell me this.
Yep.
Christmas. What are we about? What's happening on Christmas?
Me.
No. Oh, the birth of Jesus.
Yeah,
we know
what
Christmas.
Right.
Temporarily
right.
confused. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. What's it about? It's about being grateful for our country and our place and our original settlers and the pilgrims and all that, right?
Right. If you see something you want, take it.
I'm you're maybe confused on these holidays.
Uh-huh.
July 4th, what's that about?
Oh, I know that one. USA, USA, USA.
That one's about the USA.
Yeah.
July 4th, Independence Day,
yeah.
et cetera. Like most of these, Veterans Day, what's that about? MLK Day, what's that
Veterans.
About? Most of these are pretty most
mm-hmm.
of them are pretty self-explanatory, and the specificity is contained right in.
Mm-hmm.
President's Day is lame.
Yeah, no, I think we can say that. But
there you are thinking that Millard Fillmore is being honored today.
I was going with Chester Arthur.
And he's at Chester mm-hmm. Arthur. He's not. Oddly, I think it was it Chester Arthur who signed the original President's Day? Could be that Chester Arthur.
That would be about the right time.
Signed the President's Day. Was this his actual? What's the date of today?
Today is February the 18th.
Yeah, so George was born on February the 22nd. So it is. I mean, I will say technically you're right. It is to honor the incumbent president, and I know a lot of people aren't hurried to honor him, and all presidents who have served, not just George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
The day is a state holiday in most states. With official names including Washington's birthday, President's Day, and Washington and Lincoln's birthday.
I was saying, because I think Lincoln's birthday is around Washington's, correct?
Lincoln's birthday was February 12th.
Yes.
It was actually never a federal holiday.
Correct.
And nearly half of the state governments have renamed their Washington's birthday President's Day
mm-hmm.
in order to lump in Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
except for Alabama, which is... it is amazing. In Arkansas, I had no idea what rat hole I was going down here. What's the hole? What holes is it going down? You're going down a rabbit hole. That's
mm-hmm.
a rabbit hole. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson in Alabama. George Washington and Daisy Gates Bates in Arkansas. Who is she?
Bates?
Daisy Gatson Bates. It's in Arkansas. It's Washington and Daisy Gatson Bates, who I don't believe she was a president.
I think based on my understanding of the American
presidency,
yes.
Daisy Gates.
She was an American civil rights activist, publisher, journalist, and lecturer who played a leading role in the Little Rock integration crisis of 1957.
See, now that's the way to flip. That's like the opposite of what Alabama's doing today.
Yes.
It's going Daisy Gatson Bates Day.
Yeah. Sorry, I was responding to a tweet from a biggest Utah fan.
Good for Arkansas. Why? What's Utah do?
He says he thinks the 4th of July should be renamed Thomas Jefferson Day because he wrote the Declaration of Independence. And I'll say that is probably technically true. Thomas Jefferson probably put pen to paper. John Locke, however, wrote the Declaration of Independence. It's just Thomas Jefferson stole it.
Okay,
which is
so
what
we're going to be devoting today to the controversy between involving John. No, we're not. We're going to be talking about sports, which is what we like to. Here's what we do in this show. I don't know if you know. We stick to sports.
Mm-hmm.
We stick to sports, whether it's President's Day or any other day.
Mm-hmm.
We are into sports. It's a sports talk show. It's on the flagship station of sports in Memphis, 92.9 FM ESPN. And so we will be sticking to sports with Jonah Jordan in the next segment is mm-hmm. going to join us. I'm not sure he's aware of who we're celebrating today, but he was there for James Wiseman Day mm-hmm. over the weekend when James Wiseman played Whitehaven.
Hashtag my president.
Right, exactly. My president. Lost, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did lose. Scored 34 points. I'll tell you, when I saw the highlights that Jessica Benson put up, mm-hmm. actually.
Shout out, Jess.
That kid's stroke is unbelievable.
It's almost like he's like the number one player in the country.
In addition to being mind you, they lost, and he's going to have to carry Memphis to victories next year, And now he's not carrying east of Victory. Mm-hmm. It's over Whitehaven, right? So you if you want to be, but like no one else did anything. At one point, he hit three threes in a row, okay? Then the next three hit the rim, bounced up onto the top of the backboard, and it was so therefore was out of bounds.
Yep.
And then bounced in.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't count. Then on the next three, he hit three and was fouled.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a four. It was a four. He scored 13 straight points
mm-hmm.
on like this is a 7-footer.
Who among us hasn't?
And so anyway, Jonah was there to witness that. He was also there at the Express game with me, sitting alongside me at the Express game. No. Anyone who was there knows that that's the wrong music to play for the Express.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to that in a moment. And then he was not in Orlando, where the Memphis Tigers lost, nor was he in Lexington, where the beloved Tennessee Volunteers lost. But we can talk to him about all manner of things. We'll do that next as we stick to sports exclusively, as we are apt to do here on the show. Chris Harrington is going to be aiding our All-Star coverage from the weekend. And it's a good thing because... Yeah, no. Not for me. I watched almost nothing. Can I tell you that? Should I fake that I watched everything? You know what I watched? You know what I did watch? I watched that Steph to Giannis play.
Yeah, the bounce.
Holy crap. Now, what everyone is,
The literal bounce pass.
I saw someone tweet, did Giannis come down yet? I went to make a sandwich. Right?
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. that's how high Giannis was.
Uh-huh.
But I will tell you, of the two parts of that play,
mm-hmm.
the more impressive was Steph.
Yes, I think. Well, I would say the more skill.
Steph comes down and Steph's
required more skill
and throws an alley-oop
yes.
by dint of a bounce.
Yes,
he's coming down and he's coming on the left side, bounces the ball off the floor to go up perfectly for an alley-oop. For Giannis to soar roughly 72 feet in the air
mm-hmm.
and come down and dunk it.
Mm-hmm.
I was more impressed. If you ask me what was the more jaw-dropping part of that play,
mm-hmm.
it was Steph. God, I wish they drafted Steph.
Mm-hmm. Or anyone.
Or anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly Steph.
Yeah.
Steph is fun,
mm-hmm.
man. He is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Harden's less fun. He's just so he's just so unattractive.
Well, again, he's not as fun as Hasheem Thabeet, but yes, he was fun.
The beard is crazy. He is more fun. I'll grant you, he's more fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Chris Harrington will be joining us at 10 o'clock to talk about the All Stars. I saw that last night. He tweeted that he said, "I kind of resent that this game is tightening up because I'd like to watch True Detective." Is that the show?
Yes, it was indeed.
Do you watch it?
I've not watched the
newest
season.
People are enjoying it.
Yes. Yes.
There's three seasons.
Correct.
First one awesome. Second one not awesome. This one supposed to be pretty good.
Correct.
Okay. I'm
you nailed it. You got it.
That is the accepted truth about
yes.
True Detective. I haven't watched any of them, but I'm aware of what people think of them. Should I go watch the first season of True Detective?
I think you're going
to scare me. I get scared easily.
Yeah, I was going to say my actual thing was going to say I don't think that's going to be for you. It's kind of grim. And you don't.
Yeah, no, I like happy things.
Yeah.
You know me. I like on the sunny side of the street.
You want a musical.
Okay, so Jonah Jordan's going to be joining. Yes. If they could just make it a musical to True Detective, True Detective, the musical,
yeah.
I would then listen. Anyway, okay, so Jonah Jordan next, Chris Harrington after that. We may even talk to some of you at some point during the course of the day. Before I got to any of that, I was torn what to start with
mm-hmm.
because we could open with the Memphis Tigers who had it in their grasp.
Yep. Scratched and clawed all the way back.
Scratched and clawed all the way back and then lost in deceptively. The score did not reflect. It was a one-point game in the final 2 minutes.
Yes.
And then lost at UCF. And I've written a column about that, which is at the Daily Memphian. And so you can read that. And we could talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about the All-Star festivities. I'm handicapped by the fact that I didn't watch any of it. But
mm-hmm. other than that, we could talk about
when has that stopped me mm-hmm. before? So we could talk about some of that. We could talk about the Tennessee-Kentucky game, which I did tape, and I did watch some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, I thought it would be difficult for me because I wouldn't know who to be rooting for
sure.
or against. I found it to be delightful.
Really?
I found it to be delightful.
You
yeah.
you enjoyed watching the orange?
By the way, that poll that we did on Friday,
mm-hmm.
The fact that they got crushed made it more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then Pat Forty has written an unbelievably vindictive column saying that Tennessee is, in fact, overrated. Can it, the Kentucky fans were cheering, overrated, which I think is, I hate that cheer.
Yeah, it diminishes not, what you
could. Yeah, I'm not the first one to have made this point. It's
yeah.
cliche to say about a team that the overrated cheer is counterproductive because by cheering that someone's overrated, you are diminishing your own accomplishment.
Yes.
Right? So never liked the overrated cheer particularly, but Kentucky fans were cheering overrated. John
mm-hmm.
Tried to put a stop to it,
mm-hmm.
right? A, he knows he's got to go play in Knoxville,
mm-hmm.
and B, he doesn't want to.
Oh, I thought you were going to say B, the cameras were on.
What?
I thought you were going to say B, the cameras were on. Yeah,
okay, and B, the cameras were on, so he wanted to appear gracious. So anyway, so Pat Forty wrote a column saying that no, they really are overrated, horribly overrated, and that they beat no one in their 19 straight. Not a single ranked team, I believe, in the 19 straight, and basically trashing Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
He was to Tennessee as people sometimes project that I am, because as we know, I love our brethren at Tennessee. The only
mm-hmm.
thing I don't love, and I got into this again last night with some Yahoo from Chattanooga or Nashville on Twitter, someone doing the whole racist trope about the Liberty Bowl being a hellhole and no one wanting to go there because you're going to get murdered as
mm-hmm.
soon as you step inside.
Mm-hmm.
Those people irritate me. And so I could talk about that. I enjoyed that game and we could talk about that. But I thought I would begin with the Memphis Express.
Surprise!
I went. And I will tell you, I went. Normally I would have been at the Orlando, in Orlando for
mm-hmm.
the UCF Memphis game. But I went to the Memphis Express game. And there were a couple things that were really stunning about it. Maybe three. Three things that were really stunning about it.
Okay. None of which was quarterback play?
One, the third one was, yes.
Ah.
One, how few people were there. Now, I say stunning, except I totally expected it. But I expected it anyway. I expected it if it had been a beautiful day. It would have been fewer than 10,000 people there. I just didn't think people were interested. I have not sensed literally any buzz about this at all.
I actually think there was some. I think there was some interest
in
some buzz
in the wake of the first TV. In the wake of the first TV game, there was some interest and some buzz.
And then they did. They looked so incompetent on offense last Sunday that I agree with you. I think.
But I didn't expect a big crowd anyway. Like, the idea that they were going to get 25,000 seemed nuts to me, right, no matter what the weather was. But then you throw in the, it was cold, man. Listen, I know we're wimps,
mm-hmm.
and we are wimps.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. Like, 30 degrees does not keep people from Buffalo from a football game.
Mm-hmm. That's a scorcher. That's a short stay.
30 degrees here. No one has any interest in going outside to a football game.
Well, it also, it looked like there was a legitimate chance it could rain, too.
It did not,
like,
not
you know
only
I mean?
A chance of it could rain, it did rain.
Yeah, so again.
I would say right before kickoffs, except for there were no kickoffs, right before the game was began.
The placement of the ball.
The placement of the ball. Right before the dramatic placement of the ball, it was misting, in addition to cold as hell. So there was that. Furthermore, although I'm deeply appreciative that they sponsored our phone line,
yes,
our guests
absolutely.
I'll tell you this. I think it's been totally lame how much. Let me ask you this: has Christian Hackenberg been on our radio show?
He's not.
Do they cough up players left and right? I mean, do you hear a lot? I mean, with all due respect, do you hear a lot of promotion?
No,
Have we had any? Have we on the station had anyone on the radio?
We've had Irby, the GM, and
well, early on we did when it was first announced. We had the founder on, and he was great.
We had the GM, and we had
what's his name, the founder. You know, the guy who's the son of
And we had Charlie Ebersole.
He was great.
Yes,
he was great. And I was thinking this, but like literally, there hasn't been any radio presence on this station, barely at all.
Yeah. I've wondered.
You would think they would be like saying, "Who do you want? Like, what do you want? Like, I don't care. Like,
no,
it's fine. It hasn't hurt us." But
I've wondered if that's a Singletary thing, though.
Well, plus, let's be honest, he's the most dull human being in the world.
Yes, and he's a very football guy. Like, you know,
he has nothing to say. With all due respect, I'm not saying he may have things to say. He doesn't. He chooses not to say them.
Correct, but he's also like old school football. Yeah. Like, we don't. You know, you get.
I mean, it couldn't be. He couldn't be.
Wouldn't think he'd be a big fan of more access.
No, it's not even access. Because the CA's been covering him in terms of access.
Sure.
He's just, you would think they would be everywhere trying to get people out. And I haven't noticed it. Let's just say that. Compared to the Maniacs, who were everywhere, promoted everywhere. And some of that is because they were locally owned and run, operated by Steve Earhart, who understands the market.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they weren't. You know, they aren't. They're run out of the league. Like, it's one common ownership deal.
Right.
And so
it's not the franchise model.
So for all kinds of reasons, I thought we were a minor leagued out. I thought we got the Grizzlies and Tigers going on. There was very little in the way of promotion. The weather stunk, whatever else. Like, I expected I was going to, in the over-under of 10,000, I was definitely going with 10,000, no matter what the weather was. And then the weather was the way it was. And I think if there were 3,000 people there, that would be generous.
Okay.
I don't think there were 3,000 people there.
So it looked like?
Roughly.
It looked like one of the old school Bridges kickoff classics?
Roughly 3,000 people there. So that's the bad news. The good news is?
They have a TV contract?
They had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Literally everyone I talked to there was just, and some of it was the, if you wanted to be there, you really wanted to be there.
Yes.
Like, you were all in. And here's the other thing that the cold weather does. If you are one of the people who decides, we're going to go be crazy in the cold weather.
Mm-hmm. There's a sense of community.
It creates a certain Bills Mafia. You wonder why those people, Bills Mafia people, are like they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's insane to be out there to begin with.
Oh,
right?
I thought because they're drunk.
And also they're drunk. Both of those things were true.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Both those things were true Saturday night. Everyone who was there was totally into it. The fact that they were kind of the few, the proud, the many,
mm-hmm.
gave them a sort of rowdy edge.
The Marines.
They were drunk. They were thrilled. And it was fun. Like, it was fun. I mean, a lot of fun. And loud, considering there were only 3,000 people there.
Yeah.
Like, they were really into it. And there were things that, like, were totally mystifying. They had this thing called the silent disco where you walk in and they give you headphones, and then you're supposed to be hearing this disco music and dancing to music nobody else will hear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there are five people in the silent disco. Like, that wasn't a real thing.
Okay.
I'll tell you some things that were a thing. They had all these different kinds of seating. They had two big scaffolding party decks.
I noticed that.
And they're going to the Memphis Tigers, and we'll talk to Jonah about this. The Memphis Tigers have already decided they're going to adopt those party decks. Now, some Memphis fans are unhappy because they're like, we're going to be this place. They were in the corners of the end zone. And for the Memphis games, they're not going to be in the corners of the end zone. They're going to be strictly smack in the middle of the end zone. And the people who are in those seats are going to be displaced to better seats for no extra cost. So don't worry if you're one of those Memphis Tiger fans who has a seat there. But, like, those were great. Then they had this loge seating. I talked to these guys. They bought their loge seats for $650 season ticket.
Okay.
But guess what you get for it? And I don't know whether this deal is still in place, but this is what they got.
Call plays?
They got $50. They got a $500 gift certificate to Sissy's Log Cabin.
All right.
The jewelry place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Sissy's Log Cabin.
And so basically they've at this point paid $150.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there's five games, I believe, right?
Yes.
And you get full service, all you can eat, all you can drink, delivered to your loge seating for $650. It was a menu. I took a picture of the menu, but it had a menu, lots of options, barbecue nachos, all kinds of food, beer, as much beer as you want brought to you.
All for $650?
As much food as you want brought to you. The $500 gift certificate, season tickets, all for $650.
It's like they're paying you.
It's like they are paying you. I cannot tell you.
That might be the best deal. Like, that might rival
now,
the...
I don't know if the Sissies... That's what they told... I don't know if the Sissies thing is still in play or whatever else. And mind you, it's not Robert Irwin Jewelers. Like,
of course
I understand
not.
That. But it's $500. And so it's a... an unbelievable deal. The people there were just thrilled. I met a 76-year-old guy. He looked like he was blue. He was so cold, right?
Yes.
And he said he was euphoric. The word he used was euphoria. Just so much fun. Like, really, this kind of rowdy, edgy, we are here, we are drunk, we are the Memphis fans, we have this new team, we're going to go crazy. So, the first two striking things are, one, none of you went. And we may take calls in the second hour, and you mm-hmm. can challenge me on this, because some of you might have gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. None of you people went. I'm not blaming you, but I'm just telling you, none of you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, those of you who were there,
mm-hmm.
understanding that none of you were there, those of you who were there mm-hmm. had an absolute blast. It was a riot. It was way fun. And the game flies. That's the other thing. You're not out there for 4 hours. It's 2.5 hours.
No, they take the best parts of the NFL clock rules and then they get rid of commercials. It's awesome.
Fantastic. And the only people who hate it are the statisticians.
Yes, because you have no time
between
being caught
play,
up.
You have no yes, time whatsoever. Like, so down at the end of the press box, those people are dying.
Yes.
Right? Because but just so much fun. And you should go in 2 weeks, because I bet you'll have fun too. Except for the third thing that's striking. They're awful. Let's be honest. Offensively, they're awful.
Yes.
They averaged fewer than 8 yards a drive.
Yes.
Christian Hackenberg, literally, it's amazing how quickly he's become hated. Everyone would say, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world.
Not true. Some heroes have been on this train forever.
F Hackenberg. Like, it's oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. I mean, F Hackenberg, but...
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like a nice guy. Like, he came out.
I think that's why he plays, because I think he is.
Well, no. First of all, he looks
yes.
exactly like a quarterback.
Exactly. You and I have talked. I told you this.
He's like a really poor man's Josh Allen.
Yes, he's the.
And Josh Allen is pretty poor himself, but he's a really poor man. He's big. He's strong. He's strapping. He's courageous. He takes hits. He gets up again.
Yes.
He's like, he looks, he's got,
Puff.
I think he's got dimples.
Yes,
he's
good looking.
He wore a rucksack
yes.
to his press conference.
Yes.
Good looking, big, strapping quarterback.
Yes.
If that's how you draft, no wonder the Jets drafted him on the second
yes.
round.
Yes.
He can't play dead.
Yes, no, he can't throw.
The problem is he can't throw.
He is not only the captain,
oh.
he is the all-time quarterback on my looks like a quarterback until the ball snapped
Whew.
Team.
And mind you, they got other problems on offense.
Their offensive line is horrific.
And that's a problem throughout the
yes.
throughout the league. And there are lots of NFL offensive lines that are horrific.
Sure.
It's people talk about there's not enough quarterbacks. And they say that all the time. There's not enough quarterbacks. You know what? The whole college football is filled with quarterbacks who compete at this level. Riley Ferguson
yes.
was a very good college quarterback. Chad Kelly was a very good college quarterback. There should be quarterbacks who can play at this level.
Yes, I agree with this.
They're not offensive linemen who can. There's not enough.
Think the rules don't help them out. Like, they have it set up.
You're not allowed to blitz.
I know, but the way that it's set up is because of the way that because they can't blitz, so basically what it's going to end up doing is it makes it one-on-one with these defensive linemen. So everyone just takes these really fast defensive linemen and says, okay, just run past
them. The quarterbacks get murdered. I mean, and in fairness to Christian Hackenberg, he got just demolished a
yes.
bunch of times. Did you watch any of it on TV?
I watched the entire game.
Okay, so
every snap.
How'd it look on TV?
There were a lot of really tight shots. It felt like they were going with the Skycam too much to make sure that they didn't show how many empty seats there were,
right.
Which that kind of gave me motion sickness a little bit.
Did it seem fun?
But it did, absolutely. No, there's no question. Like the
plus, they scored. Not only did they score, they took a 9-0 lead. They got a field goal from the and the field
that
goal.
Was my favorite.
Jasper is a field goal kicker.
Yes,
he's been a coach at Lausanne for the last 2 years, doing some other job coaching at Lausanne. Like some of these are great stories. He scores, and Zach Stacy.
He was in my 3-year-old Sunday school class.
Is that true?
Oh yeah.
Then Zach Stacy scores a 9-yard touchdown, and like woohoo, we're on. And then
my favorite though is the first scoring drive. The first scoring drive did not get a first down.
No, it didn't. No,
they got the turnover. They got the turnover. And then Hackenberg just goes three down.
The other really magnificent part of the game was when they showed on NFL Network the Memphis mayor.
Yes.
The Memphis mayor was not the Memphis mayor.
No.
He was just kind of a fat guy.
Yeah, with a
he was
with
a fat guy with a beard and a red hat and holding a football.
Yes.
And it said Memphis Mayor Jim Strickland underneath it. And the theory was that John Martin had, when we talked about it later, was that that's just who they think the Memphis mayor should look like.
Yeah, no, that sounds fair.
kind of a fat, bearded guy with a hat and a football.
Yeah.
He's the Memphis mayor.
Close enough.
But I will tell you, it was really a blast in a crazy, zany, I don't believe it's going to be here in a year kind of way. We're going to take a break. Jonah Jordan was there, too, but he was there to watch James Wiseman as well. Oh, before I tell you that, I got a call from Paul right before the show began over at O'Call. Today is President's Day.
It is, indeed.
You know what your president would want you? You know what Thomas Jefferson would want you to do?
Spend some money at O'Call?
Yes, because it's 70% off, much like the Louisiana Purchase.
It's just a great deal. You have to take it.
And not only that, here's the thing. First of all, they got incredible amounts of new merchandise coming in. All the spring stuff is coming in. You're really missing out if you don't get over there today or this week. But the other reason to get there this week is Saturday is, I'm sorry to say this, moment of silence, the last day of the semi-annual sale. So you have now until Saturday to get to O'Call for the semi-annual sale. See all their new stuff that's coming in, all their fall and winter merchandise, 70% off. But that's it. Then it's over. You got from now until Saturday. Make it a part of your day today. Thomas Jefferson would approve. We'll come back, talk to Jonah Jordan of the Daily Memphian. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Michael Zellner, Mattress and Furniture, is where you can get the most fabulous mattresses and the most fabulous furniture, and it's 50 to 80% off retail store prices every day of the week. How many people are people off President's Day? Are people off or not? Will they be able to get themselves to Sleepy Z's Mattress and Furniture by Michael Zellner today? A lot are.
Yeah, I definitely noticed coming into work this morning that it was definitely lighter.
It's lighter. So get yourself to Sleepy Z's Mattress and Furniture. If you do, you'll know you're at the place that's been named the best mattress store in 2015, 16, 17, and 18. Get yourself a Serta Eye Comfort. Simmons Beauty Rest. Or you walk through their beautiful showroom full of furniture from Signature Design by Ashley and Benchcraft. Like I said, it's not just mattresses. It's Sleepy Z's Mattress and Furniture by Michael Zellner. You find something you want, you get the 50 to 80% off, plus, every single day of the week, plus, if you mention my name, Jeff Calkins, you will get an additional 10% off anything in the store, including the beautiful pillows you can make yourself. their make-your-own pillow station. Sleepy Z's located 2790 Kirby Winton Road, the corner of Summer Avenue, right next to Hollywood Feed. Give them a call, 901-692-6200. Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm joined now by Jonah Jordan. Jonah Jordan from the Daily Memphian had a busy weekend. He joins me now. Jonah, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing today, Jeff?
What's your Twitter handle? Tell people your Twitter handle.
At underscore Jonah Jordan.
Yeah, that's a underscores get you and me both, man. Who has Jonah Jordan? Who is the evil person who beat you to just Jonah Jordan?
He has, like, tweeted three times, and I think one of them was to tweet at me and laugh at me that he has my name and my Twitter handle.
What a vindictive son of a gun.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go through the weekend here chronologically. You went to see East play Whitehaven. And by the way, Whitehaven won. What'd you think? What was the scene, by the way?
Oh, so it was packed. It was slammed. I got there about an hour early, and Central and Whitehaven girls playing their 16 U teams were playing. And there were people in the house for that game. I mean, it was a good game. They went to overtime. They have some good, fun players on those teams. But when that game was over, the gym didn't empty. I mean, I think about 12 people left when it was time for that team to get out of there. I mean, people were getting there an hour and a half early for James Wiseman.
Were people being turned away in the end? Did it not?
Because it was at Central High School, and that's a big gym.
Okay.
There's a lot of seats. It wasn't like East High School, which is not a big gym, not a big place to play basketball. But it was a great game. I mean, James tried to go in the end. James almost won them the game. But Malcolm Dandridge fouled out. He only had 2 points. He didn't look himself in that game. He looked like he was struggling to run up and down the court. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him or anybody on the East. And then Faraji Phillips had a great game plan for James, and in the end it ended up, I think it was a 3-point game with 15 seconds left. James Wiseman was dribbling at the top of the key with Matt Morrell guarding him, and that's the two best players on the floor going at each other, and James ended up missing a three, and Whitehaven won.
It is the first time, I mean, East wins these games, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think East has won 10 straight against them.
Okay, let's talk about Wiseman's game. Should I be worried at all, by the way, that DJ Jeffries and James Wiseman, who we're counting on to lift the Memphis Tigers to glory next year, both lost Friday?
No, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, I think, East lost because James didn't get the help he needed. I mean, nobody scored in double digits. I think the closest person to him had 8 points. He had 34. The only reason they were in that game was because of James Wiseman. If Malcolm Dandridge had been able to do anything or any guard gave them any semblance of production, they win the game. I mean, and
what you just said, here's what you just said. You said James Wiseman did everything he possibly could. Malcolm Dandridge didn't do anything. If any guard had given him a semblance of production, they would have won the game. Could I say that exact sentence next year?
I hope not. I mean, next year you're getting older guards. I mean, Tyler and Alo are better than any guard they have on that team right now. So is Antoine. So theoretically, no, we shouldn't be saying that, especially when those guys are a year older.
Okay. In terms of Wiseman himself, what was impressive? We went through. Take us through this sequence with the three pointers. What happened?
So. I think they were down, I think it was 11. And then he hit three straight threes. Whitehaven scored twice, I think. He missed, he technically, in the scorebook, it'll say he missed one, his fourth straight three. It bounced off the top of the backboard, which is technically out of bounds, and then it still went in. Then the very next play, he came down, and at the top of the key, he did a step back three. Defender fouled him, and he still made it. Made the three and then the free throw. So, I mean, he literally, when I say
I just saw Jessica Benson's highlight. His stroke is gorgeous.
So it varies. I think he when he gets uncomfortable, when he can get his feet set, when he can get there, there are moments where it's like, okay, that looks great. But then there are other moments where he has a hitch or a little bit of a, I don't know if hitch is the right word for it. And he has trouble getting his feet square because, and that's a problem people his size have, is getting his feet square to the basket, getting in the right position for threes. But when he's consistent with it, when he looks like that, I mean, he looks like Chris Bosh. I mean, it looks great.
Interesting. And defensively?
Good. Good as usual. I mean, he was blocking shots, flying all around. I mean, he was guarding guards at some point. I mean, he stopped Morrell from dunking on him at one point with a nice block. I can't remember if they ended up calling that a foul or not.
How good is, let's cut to the chase. How good do you think he's going to be next year? Will he be the player of the year in the conference?
Oh, he should be. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, if everything goes like I think it'll go, he'll be the best player in the conference, hands down. People talk to me all the time, oh, how's he going to look in the NBA? How's he going to look in the NBA? I have no idea. No, couldn't tell you how he's going to look in the NBA, but I think there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be the best player in the American Athletic Conference.
Right. Okay, so let's go on to Malcolm Dandridge. I have seen him play two or three times maybe, but the time when I saw him play at the Lander Center, it was Wiseman on the court, Dandridge on the court, and Jeffries on the court, and Dandridge was easily the best player. He was unbelievable in that game, certainly in the first half of that game. People said at the time it was an aberration. Various people told me they'd never seen him play that well before. What's going on with Malcolm Dandridge?
I haven't heard from him that he's hurt. So I don't want to say that. I think that he may be hurt. I think there was something going on there where you're getting – Malcolm Dandridge isn't only scoring 2 points against Whitehaven. He's not, if he's 100%. So, obviously, I think he has some stuff going on. I think he's great. I think Malcolm's great. He's a gritty guy. He's going to play defense. He's going to give you 100% every time he's on the floor. I know for a fact he's been working on his jumper for a while now. I don't know how much of a back-to-basket player he is. But that may not be what you want. You may just want him to block some shots, grab some rebounds, and then be able to hit that 7-foot jumper when he has the chance. I mean, he has a few post moves. He needs to refine them a little bit. I think working with Sam Mitchell will help that a lot. But I've always been impressed by him when I've seen him. I watched him at Peach Jam where he was pretty good. He's a smart basketball player. I think he's going to just keep working hard and keep getting better.
Okay, Matthew Morrell was the other, obviously the white star at Whitehaven. How good – tell us what he's like as a player. How good is he? How good was he Friday night?
Man, that's an impressive kid right there because I've always been under the impression I think I watched him last year, maybe at the beginning of last year when he was a little bit smaller, and then I watched him over the summer, and I watched him a little bit at the beginning of this year. Man, he's great. He's 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", can play either guard spot. Because the big problem with Morrell coming in was, oh, which guard spot he's going to play, but it doesn't matter. The kid's awesome. I mean, he's without a doubt in my mind, a 4-star guard who can play anywhere he wants. He can fly up and down the floor. He can dunk from the free throw line. He almost dunked on Wiseman and Dandridge in that game, but he was a little off on both of them. He can shoot threes. He's got a great handle. I was so impressed. I think he would be the best guard on the Tigers right now, without a doubt in my mind. Maybe that's just recency bias. Maybe that's a little bit of going overboard, but I just think he's great. I think he could play in college right now.
Do you believe he will be Memphis bound in the end?
Yeah, yeah. In the end, yeah, he will be.
You're confident?
Confident, yes.
Okay. All right. And then lastly, you were, a few things. There were a couple of interesting things. You had the story Saturday night about the seating at the Liberty Bowl. Before we get to the Memphis Express, what's happening at the Liberty Bowl for the Memphis Tiger games next year? People can read that the Daily Memphian, by the way, put the story up Saturday night. Go ahead. Yes.
These party decks have taken off in recent years. SMU wants to turn their whole student section into a party deck. I'm pretty sure the plans are out there. I think they've done it, actually. I'm not 100% sure. It's a thing. And in a place where you're struggling to fill seating, I mean, it's a pretty smart move. They're putting three across the north end zone with – I don't know how many people hold – I don't think they've gotten that far. I don't know how much money it'll be. I'm pretty sure it'll be throughout the whole season, though, starting with the Ole Miss game. Anybody displaced by that will probably be moved to midfield was the – impression I got. They're trying to make
there was
sure.
There was a little blowback because when people saw the where the pictures were, they're like, oh, hey, that's our seats. The actual party decks in the Memphis Tiger games are going to be closer together in the end zone, right? And those people will be moved to
the away side.
The away side, basically 50-yard line, but higher up, right? And those are better. Those are better seats than they have now.
Yeah, and they'll come at the same price. They're making sure people aren't going to get gypped by this. That was the big thing. People started texting me right away. I don't want my seats. I don't want to pay for those seats that they're going to want to move me to. No, as far as I'm concerned, they're trying to make sure that those midfield seats come at the same price as the family fun zone, because those are the people, the Ashley Furniture family fun zone people are the ones that would be probably displaced. I don't think they've 100% worked it out yet. That's something that's going to be continued to work on, but their backs are against the wall because season tickets are coming out here soon.
Okay. And then what did you think of the game itself? So the Memphis Express, the seating was kind of cool. They had lots of interesting seating options. Field looked beautiful. And I thought, you wandered down there to talk to the people too. The very few people who were there, I thought were having a blast.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that was there. There wasn't 11,000 people there. I don't care what they say. No.
There was maybe 3,000. You think there was 3,000 people there?
I'd say less than that. Somewhere.
Someone suggested me 2,800. That sounded about right. There was more than 1,000. There was more than 1,000, and there were fewer than 5,000. Between 1 and 5,000, I think, is the right number. But there clearly were not. Yes, there clearly were not. Were
I
not
think
11,000.
I think people had fun. I don't doubt it, but my big question is how much people want to go back, because
the team is – the offense is so god-awful.
They're awful. Their offense is terrible. And, I mean, how far can you go with Christian Hackenberg gaining – I mean, half the yards he gained were on the ground. I mean, he gained 39 yards on the ground. I mean, how – sustainable is that? I mean, Zach Stacy's your best player. He had 101 yards. He's theoretically, I mean, he wasn't on the field for the last two drives. I think he ended up getting a little banged up, but I just don't know how sustainable that is. And it's not like you're blowing the doors off people with that. So it's not a great
situation. Well, here's the problem. By the time it is warm enough for people to want to go, right? I understand. Whatever. It was miserable. It was totally miserable, and lots of things were happening. Tennessee was playing on TV. Memphis was playing on TV. Lots of stuff was happening. I get that. By the time you sort of get warm enough, if you have let's say in 2 weeks when the San Diego Fleet, and by the way, pictures from their game didn't show any people there either. Let's be honest. San Diego got ripped off their NFL team. They don't want some fake NFL team. I don't blame anyone for not supporting anything. Like, certainly not this, but. But by the time they come in 2 weeks, it's going to be so established that Memphis sucks that any momentum they could be building is going to be dissipated, because they're just not – like, compare that to how much fun Memphis football is. Whatever you think about the Memphis defense or Memphis not winning a bowl game or whatever your quibbles are about what Memphis football has done over the past few years, Memphis football is a blast now. They score 50 points a game. Like it's unbelievable. And this is like a throwback to the worst days. To even say that this is a throwback to the Rip Shear days on offense is an insult to Rip Shear.
Yeah, and it's honestly, I'll be honest, it's the worst offense I've seen in a long time. I mean, a lot of stuff they do doesn't make sense. They use a fullback a lot. And it just seems like their offense is really outdated. Their offensive coordinator, me and one of my friends were running through his qualifications. There's a reason he's in the AAF. I mean, there's a reason he is where he is right now. I don't want to rip on the guy, but it is what it is. I mean, their best wide receiver can't catch. Their quarterback looks lost. And he was talking after the game. It was a little funny. He was Hackenberg was talking after the game, talking about how everybody's attitude is great. Everybody's loving each other. And I've seen, like, videos of him looking at the sideline, yelling and cursing because nobody can get the plays right. I mean, and that half the game he was mic'd up in the first game, he dropped like 6 F-bombs on people because they wouldn't catch the ball or his offensive line wouldn't block. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like things are going great over there.
No. I mean, in fairness, they don't have as much time to get the plays in. But no, on the offensive side, it's a disaster. And we did ask Singletary after about it, and it did not even indicate. There was no indication that he was going to be thinking about making a quarterback change. I don't know what's with Zach Mettenberger. I have no idea if he's been injured or whatnot. But I hate to say it, Christian Hackenberg can't throw.
No. And, I mean, if he can throw, I don't know how many people he has that can catch. Right. So.
Okay, so what did you make of the Memphis loses to UCF? I went back and I have a column up on that game and basically the state of the Memphis basketball program now generally, which I think, I'll be honest, like I think is pretty good. Like but they lost to UCF. It was a 1-point game in the final 2 minutes. There was nothing disgraceful about the loss. Let's be honest. This is a team that finished 161 at KenPom last year, and basically it's the same dudes plus some small freshman point guards. And now they are in the 60s, 70s, both at KenPom and the RPI. 64 RPI, I think, and they were like 120 last year RPI. It's demonstrably better team than last year, but it's the kind of team that's going to win a game against UCF at home and lose a game against UCF on the road. They can win road games against Tulane and East Carolina, but not really anybody else. It's an okay team. They're just not that good. And so when it comes, you know, Tyler really struggled, did not have a good game, missed a three-pointer that he shouldn't have taken, ill-advised. I don't even know if he only got onto the court at the very end once they were down, you know, whatever, last 30 seconds. Jeremiah was good again. Kevin was active defensively but was not that productive offensively. They're an okay team. That's about it. They do play hard. I mean, they don't quit. They play hard. And they draw a huge crowds, and that's great. But I didn't think it was a disgraceful performance. What did you make of it?
I kind of expected them to lose anytime they go on the road. Lately, right. I'm expecting it. But, I mean, I think it's pretty clear at this point they're only going as far as Jeremiah Martin and Kevin Davenport can take them. You know, that if one of those guys isn't playing his absolute best, they're probably not going to win. And they can get away with Jeremiah Martin playing out of his mind and two or three other guys being kind of good and get away with it at home. But on the road, they just haven't been able to do that yet. They haven't been able to get away with that against good teams. And UCF's a pretty good team. So, I mean, I'm not disappointed. I wouldn't be if I were a Tiger fan. I don't think Tiger fans should be sitting around and being really upset about it. I know it stinks to lose, but there are so many positive steps in the right direction this season that I think, like you've written, the season's already a success. I mean, if you get through the end of the season and you look back and say, okay, I see development, I see guys got better, I see, okay, we're recruiting well, I see Penny got better as a coach through the season, he's grown, he's done the right things, he's done things the right way, that's a success, because I just never thought this team was going to do what some other people thought. I thought the NCAA tournament was a pipe dream from the beginning.
Jonah, thank you very much. We will talk to you again soon, and I urge people to read your stuff at the Daily Memphian. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That is Jonah Jordan. By the way, I do have the numbers, Jeffrey, from – Whoops. Jeffrey's gone. There. Whoops. Hang on. I do have the numbers from the. Sorry about that. We had a small issue there.
Sorry, we had to let Chris in.
Chris, he went to let Chris Harrington in because the front door is closed here. I do have the numbers for the first game attendance for every pro football team that has played in Memphis. Have you seen this, Jeffrey? Have you seen my ranking?
I saw it in your
you did see it in the column,
correct?
Yeah, I did have my column. So I'm not but the order is number 1, this is the first game attendance for each of the Memphis professional football teams. The Memphis Southmen lead with 30,122. That was back in 1974. The Tennessee Oilers are second with 30,171. That was in 97. The Memphis Maniacs, does that surprise you? Maniacs first game more than the Showboats first game. Now, the Showboats did have games of more than 50,000. The Showboats went up.
Yeah.
The Maniacs went down.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me because the XFL came out on fire, and then people started watching it.
The XFL also, it's funny because people complain about the date. They say, why are we doing this in February? It was the Maniacs' first game was basically the exact same date, and it was cold as hell, and they had 30,000 people there. But it went down from there. The Showboats, 28,098, that was in 84. The Mad Dogs in 95, big dip, 14,278 at their first game. That was fundamentally not well attended. And then the Memphis Express, oh no, the Memphis Pharaohs come in next. That was the Indoor Football League in 95, 13,454. And then the Memphis Express in 2019, last with 11,980, and it was a highly fraudulent 11,980. Does it surprise you that the Express came in under the Pharaohs?
No, because as you've also pointed out, at the time, like, this is just kind of what we were used to. Like, we didn't have the Grizzlies.
The Express were kind of fun. I mean, the Pharaohs were kind of a fun deal for a while. Like, I actually think that 13,000 was pretty legitimate. They had camels, man. They had camels, arena football. Yeah, we were into it. We were trying to prove something. We were trying to join something. Now we're sort of over it. Anyway, Chris Harrington is in studio. Before I get to him, I do want to tell you, spring is coming. It is the time to transform the style and look of your house. And no better way to do it than new blinds, shades, or shutters. You say, blinds, shades, and shutters. What could they do? They could transform everything. See what some plantation shutters will do to your house? Unbelievable. See what some motorized blinds will do to your house? Whole thing opens up. In comes the sun pouring in. Unbelievable. See what the new cordless blinds will do? The federal government doesn't allow folks to sell corded blinds anymore because I can't figure them out. And also, they're dangerous to your children. The nice thing is you can do all of this by supporting a local company called Chip Wiggins, grew up in Memphis, a lifelong Memphian, started Affordable Blinds in Memphis. Affordable Blinds in Memphis has the highest quality. It has the best prices. It has the quickest service. Chip will come to your home. He has a mobile showroom. He'll show you all their options, show you what they can do. You're not going to have to go out there and get your ruler out and try to, hang this stuff yourself. He'll give you an estimate. And if you want to proceed, within one to three weeks, it can be done. No better time than now. Call Chip Wiggins. 753-5822. If you go to the website, Affordable Blinds of Memphis, you can get an idea of what sort of thing they can do for you, your home, or your business, honestly. 753-5822, 753-5822, or affordableblindsofmemphis.com. Joined next by Chris Harrington. He is in studio. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.